This episode is brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768. Welcome to Now Hear This, Candy.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Three suspects in a reported armed robbery at Canby Rite Aid Thursday evening are in custody. They crashed a few miles north of Highway 99E near South End Road, the third managing to evade police for more than an hour by fleeing into the forested region of south of Oregon City. Canby Police Lieutenant George Tro told Now Hear This Canby that two men allegedly robbed the pharmacy at gunpoint at approximately 6:19 p.m. before fleeing the scene in a white Nissan with Washington plates. Police later confirmed these to be stolen. The car was driven by a third male suspect. The three suspects were later identified as Kiala Jihad Kaola Green, age 22, Raison Derek McGuire, age 21, and Randy Darnell McGuire, age 20, all of Kent, Washington. They face charges of first-degree theft, two counts of second-degree robbery, and menacing. The vehicle headed northbound on Highway 99E with Canby police units in hot pursuit. The attempted getaway ended in a single vehicle crash near South End, with one suspect, Raison McGuire, fleeing into the woods on foot. The remaining two were detained without incident. No suspects, officers, Rite Aid staff, or bystanders were injured. Raison McGuire eluded capture for close to 2 hours, with canine units and several assisting law enforcement agencies combing the surrounding areas. He was caught shortly after 8 p.m., attempting to hide in an undercut bank that officers variously described as a cave or washout. A witness to the chaos inside the pharmacy told NHT Canby that the pair indeed had a gun and demanded money from the safe as well as pharmaceuticals, which they allegedly collected in a bag. "I was near the counter at the time," the witness told us. "I turned and walked out and grabbed whomever I could on the way out. I told the cashier to call 911 and it was not a joke. It was terrifying." The trio was booked at Clackamas County Jail, their bail set at $250,000 each. Despite the proliferation of the COVID-19 vaccine, infection rates have been moving the wrong direction for several weeks, with Clackamas County now on the cusp of moving backward in the state's framework for reopening businesses. Under the latest evaluation standards from Governor Kate Brown and the Oregon Health Authority, county risk levels are assessed every 2 weeks based on two metrics: the number of new cases per 100,000 residents and the percentage of COVID-19 test results that come back positive. The county's latest test positive rate, 4.2, is still comfortably below the 7% threshold that would signal a return to the higher risk category for Clackamas. The problem is the cases. To remain at the moderate risk stage, Clackamas County must stay under 100 new cases per 100,000, but that metric has trended sharply upward over the past month from 81.7 per 100,000 in the two-week period ending March 6th, 98.7 as in the term that ended March 20th. "We're still seeing our positive COVID-19 cases go up," said county spokeswoman Kimberly Didwitty, "and if they go up much more, we will be forced to go back into a high-risk category." A move back to high risk would mean significantly reduced capacity in restaurants, gyms, and other businesses, from 50% at the current level to only 25% in most establishments. That is something we certainly do not want to have happen, Dr. Philip Mason Joyner, director of Clackamas County Public Health, said in a March 25th update with Clackamas County Commissioners. With spring break, schools reopening, we really need the community and all of us through our individual actions to continue to follow these tried and true public health practices, wearing masks, keeping distance, practicing good hygiene, and if you're feeling unwell, staying home and staying away from others. Mason Joyner said several large outbreaks have been traced to sporting events and other gatherings, as well as workplaces. All is not lost, however. Even if the county's numbers do cross the line of 100 cases per 100,000 in the next reporting period, the state is now offering a two-week grace period to correct the trend before being officially moved to high risk. Mysterious, abnormally bright lights in the sky were seen streaking over Canby Thursday evening, leading many to ponder the possibility of strange visitors from another world. The truth is out there, people. QX-Files theme. Actually, the truth is that the sparklies were not meteors or planes, but debris, also known as space junk, from a SpaceX rocket, the aerospace manufacturer founded by Tesla CEO Elon Musk. The company's goal is to reduce the cost of space travel enough to enable humans to reach the stars and colonize other planets. But right now, it's mostly just known for its rockets blowing up in spectacular ways, as was seen this week. Hey, no one ever said space flight was easy. Before the cause was known, the light show caused considerable excitement over the Pacific Northwest, where it was seen in the skies over Portland, Seattle, and other cities. "We've been getting a number of calls about this," said the National Weather Service in Portland. "We've been getting a number of calls about this," the National Weather Service in Portland tweeted last Thursday. "I just saw this too," said a local resident on the Facebook group Canby Now. "My husband thought I was crazy. No idea what it was. Most thought it was nothing to worry about, just a meteor shower. Some suspected it was the quote-unquote North Koreans again. Other suggestions were more fanciful, like the dragon from the Neverending Story, R.I.P. Falkor. Interdimensional demons trying to survey the town to harvest children and people with innocent minds," said another commenter. The true explanation was confirmed by astronomers such as Jonathan McDowell at the Center for Astrophysics, who tweeted, "The Falcon 9 second stage from the March 4th Starlink launch failed to make a deorbit burn and is now re-entering after 22 days in orbit." So, for those hoping for signs of life beyond the stars, the good news is that there was indeed something weird and strange and beyond all human comprehension behind Thursday night's celestial pyrotechnics. The bad news is, it was just Elon Musk. The Canby Prayer Breakfast is set to return this May after transitioning to an online format in 2020, which also included the community's first ever multi-denominational prayer guide. This will be the 17th iteration of the popular annual event organized by the local faith community, which coincides with the National Day of Prayer and centers around community members praying for Canby's leaders and first responders. "At this time, when our community and nation faces extensive challenges, it is essential that we express our need for wisdom and guidance to God," said one of the event organizers, Canby Center Director Ray Keane. Canby Mayor Brian Hodson, who has long been involved with the event, until 2 years ago it was known as the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, and new City Administrator Scott Archer will give brief remarks, Keane said. Participants will also pray for the state, nation, and world. The 17th annual Canby Prayer Breakfast will be held at 7 a.m. May 6th at Cutsforth Old Town Hall. Capacity will be limited to 100 people under the current COVID-19 guidelines. Event coordinators ask guests to wear a mask when not eating or drinking. The breakfast menu includes egg extravaganza casserole, mixed fruit, sweet roll, and coffee. Tickets are $12 and may be purchased online at canbyprayer2021.eventbrite.com. Scholarships are also available. Contact Joy at 503 503- 866-9307. The event will also be broadcast live on YouTube for those who are unable to attend. Now Hear This Sports is brought to you by Reif & Hunziker, PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. The Canby Cougars defeated visiting Scappoose in their final home game of the season Friday night, led by senior running back Tyler Mead, who had a game for the ages. Mead was everywhere for the Cougs in what is likely to be his last game at Cougar Stadium, scoring all six of the home team's touchdowns as Canby took down Scappoose in the 5A Special League matchup 42-27. Tyler was a force last night, Coach Jimmy Joyce said afterwards. He really sparked everything. Canby came out a little flat to start the game, finding themselves in a 7-0 hole in the first quarter. But just as Scappoose was marching confidently downfield toward another trip to the end zone, Mead came to life. He picked Indians quarterback Luke McNabb, then ran the interception 77 yards back for a touchdown in what may go down as the best play of Canby Cougars' COVID-shortened football season. After that highlight, we never looked back, Joyce said, and indeed, the offense, led by Mead, moved easily after that, running away to a 35-7 lead at halftime. Mead's final stats for the night was an incredible 207 yards on 17 carries and 4 touchdowns, including one for the 65 yards that brought the socially distanced stadium of fans and supporters to their feet. He also caught a 35-yard touchdown pass from junior quarterback Mikey Gibson, who went 9 of 16 for 179 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Senior running back Jackson Valdreau also had a big night, with 76 yards on 10 carries for Canby. This week's injury report, unfortunately, does not look great for the Cougars. Gibson went down with an injury in the fourth quarter against Scappoose, leaving him questionable for the final game of the season, a highly anticipated league showdown with undefeated Wilsonville Friday. And the Cougs also learned this week that the season is over for spark plug Chase Spiller, senior wide receiver, kicker and return specialist who powered their offense before going down with an ankle injury in their double overtime over Cascade. Miller, who has been accepted into the U.S. Air Force Academy and its Division I football program, will undergo surgery this week.
Stay connected to what matters most this winter with unlimited high-speed internet from DirectLink. While things may look a little different this year, as we all work together to keep everyone as safe and healthy as possible, you can be confident that DirectLink's reliable network will keep your video calls, Snapchats, stories, and photos crystal clear and at your fingertips whenever you need them. In 2021, DirectLink is thankful for all of their amazing members and is proud to be your local internet, video, and voice provider for over 116 years.
Are we ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover.
You remember when we did that song a year ago?
Oh yeah, good times.
All right, well, we are at Canby Music, just reliving some past memories, some better days in some ways, with the owner, Brian Haynes. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Back.
And the amazingly talented local singer-songwriter, guitarist, just do everything, music instructor, Allie Welchel.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
So you have a show coming up at Wayward Sandwiches on May 8th with Brian over here providing just drums? Are you just doing backing vocals? Or
well, see,
Yeah, I would like to do the backing vocals, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes and put myself on the spot.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, no
as
turning back now.
That's how I
roll. Awesome. Well, you know, you just played some songs for us. We have that on our Facebook page if you guys want to check it out. And we'll be sharing that at the end of this segment for our podcast listeners so you can hear that. But I'm just kind of curious, kind of hit you with a heavy question here at the beginning, Allie, but the pandemic, how was it for you as a musician in terms of your creativity? You're obviously a big songwriter. Was it hard to kind of find motivation to write, or were you just overwhelmed with motivation? Do you feel kind of rusty coming back?
Well, for me, I don't play a ton of gigs, so it's right. kind of like I didn't really lose that part, but I know a ton of musicians like that's like their job.
Yeah.
Like couldn't do that. So that was really like, I didn't really experience that. But, I think when I was starting to work full time here and then that happened, so it was kind of, I had a lot of time on my hands. And so I really wanted to make sure that I spent my time, I was doing, lessons over Zoom, but it was very limited to like the morning time. But yeah, a lot of songs came out of me in that time. There was a lot of musicians rising up in in social media that was yes. really inspiring, just talking about the pandemic and just like making it very poetic, even mm-hmm. though it's, you know, it's sad. It's not really beautiful, something to beautify, but you know.
But a lot of times struggle and challenges can breed
yeah.
beautiful sentiments.
Yes, yeah. definitely. Yeah, so I think even probably right now I've been kind of in a songwriting rut and mm-hmm. stuck on a wall, but we're getting past it.
Okay.
And
we can lock you, just specifically you again. We can just lock you down again for 12 months if that'll help. So
yeah, right?
No.
Brian, for you, it was probably difficult just in terms of being a business owner, obviously, and not so much a musician. Or
well, so for me, I just became a construction worker.
Right.
And
you're
so,
in this place.
So. Yeah. I came over here and worked over here, and it was actually very interesting for me because I had been playing music nonstop since I was 13, mm-hmm. and to like just not play and watch kind of the chops slowly deteriorate mm-hmm. was actually kind of exciting for me.
Really?
Because I was like, I wondered, can I get it back?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I did, and I kind of learning went about things a little bit differently, and so it was all fine.
Okay, interesting. So you sort of had a little bit of a refreshing or kind of a reawakening from things that had just been rote for so long.
Right, like I sat down and tried to play some stuff after really not playing for a couple of months, and just like I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, this is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Wow, that's really neat. That's awesome. The friends that you mentioned, Allie, the many friends you have that are musicians and kind of do that professionally, or are they starting to get gigs again and things like that, or they've been forced to sort of leave that part behind for a little bit, unfortunately, or mixed bag?
I think it depends, because there are places who are opening up like Wayward Sandwiches,
right.
Like I think it just depends on the place, but I mean, I've seen them have little gigs. It's, you know, it has to be socially distanced. It's hard because most of the time when you're singing, it's hard to do it with a mask and have a microphone. So
right.
most of them don't want to wear a mask. So you have to make sure that people are far away. And but yeah, not a ton.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't really talked personally to those people about like how it's affected them. But it's weird not seeing videos pop up of their gigs or like promotions. It's like it's just died down. But there's a lot of live streams and a lot of live stream concerts, which I've gone to a couple of them, and
yeah.
they're really, it's fun, it's different, but it, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. Can you tell us about a song or two that you're excited about that's new that maybe people haven't heard yet?
Okay. Well, I sang one of them that I wrote recently, Submarine. I really like that one.
I was guessing, is that a pandemic song?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, we're drowning. But
but you're safe in your bubble in the
right,
summer.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The metaphor just holds. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that song was really fun. Like, Brian helped me with the chords. He's the man who does that for me. And I really liked the melody. I really worked hard on the melody. I released a song in December called Holy and Sacred. I really loved that one. It was really fun because I got to have people send in vocal recordings from their homes of just a harmony or the octave or just like something to add to a choir effect. Oh. And so in the song, there's like a whole part where there's like 50 tracks like stacked up and just so loud and like, it was really hard to mix, but it was difficult. And keeping all the people, because I had a good probably 20 people and they would send in like five takes. And so I would probably put all of them in, and it was so much fun. It was a learning experience because normally you could have people come in and record for you, but I had like a call for help, like, please help me with this project.
Oh man. As
tell them where you did the video at.
Oh yeah, I did the video at the Pioneer Chapel. They offered to let me use that space, and so I had a couple of my friends sing as the choir. And so yeah, that video is out on YouTube if you want to check that out. And yeah, the Pioneer Chapel, so awesome. They just helped me so much with that project.
Perfect setting for Holy and Sacred, right?
Yes, like, in a church.
100-year-old church, like,
yes.
So many weddings and so many hopes and dreams forged in that place. Not being a musician in any way, but I kind of relate it to my role as an editor and like accepting a lot of times like solicited, sometimes unsolicited, like writing and having to make something out of that. Like,
yes.
That's hard sometimes.
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Oh, man. What's it like, Allie? So you're obviously a songwriter, and that's a really intensely personal process. I'm curious how, you know, involving Brian and other people where you are performing your songs, not just with you, right? You're bringing other people into the band, as it were, and how do you kind of fill out the song as far as other instruments and other parts?
I don't know. It's really nice. Honestly, I've never really had a band before, so this is probably my first time having a drummer, which is scary, but he's a great drummer. You guys should come and watch it. And,
I play for the song. That's all I'll say. I enjoy, I've always been somebody that is a team player and just fits what the song is. And if the song calls for me doing nothing, I'm very happy doing nothing.
Yeah, I've always been very selfish with my music. I feel like I had a hard time being a team player. I was like, I like it my way or the highway. If you have something else to say, I don't care. And so I'm really trying to stretch myself as a musician because I'm growing older, I'm kind of like, okay, actually people have really great ideas and they're creative and they see the world the way I don't. And so it's just like, it's been really awesome to try to bring in more people and like trying to force myself to collab with people, even though it's hard for me, but you know, it's a part of the journey and like you kind of have to push yourself to do it, you know.
You are getting older. You're what, almost 20 now?
I'm 20, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So old.
If the bar's open, she'll be able to go to a bar next year.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I guess I just want to ask you how excited you are to be doing this show and kind of what you think it'll be like to see actual people out there, not in a screen, listening to your music, like, in real life, like real humans.
I'm very excited. I think it's been a long time coming. I've always been scared of gigs and organizing stuff. But, you know, just doing this tonight and doing the live stream, I've just felt very excited and in the right place, kind of who I am, and I'm so excited to see the people and just like get to, because there's a whole different energy when people are there listening. You go off of it, and you know, that's where the magic happens, and I'm just hoping that a ton of people show up. I mean, as much as we can anyway. And just have a good
cram night. Them in there.
Yeah. As much as we
come
can.
Come on, there's still some space in there. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so anything else to add?
Wayward Sandwich is a really good place for food and drinks. Always enjoyed the times I went there. And
even when there's not music, but especially when there is.
Yes. Yeah, so you'll be able to sit out there in that big tent they got and listen to some music, have some good food, order a drink or whatever you want, and it'll be a good evening.
Yeah.
May 8th, Wayward Sandwiches, Fort Wayward, as their tent is known. Thank you guys so much for taking time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, then we'll be back with a sample of the musical stylings of Ali Welchel.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life. Mm-hmm.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Now my thoughts are running wild.
Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.